All this week on Morning Edition, we're exploring the politics of oil. And this morning, we begin traveling a pipeline that cuts across several national borders and is of interest to some of the world's great powers. The pipeline opens this summer at a cost of more than $4 billion. It's expected to send oil 1,000 miles from the Caspian Sea coast in the former Soviet Union to the Mediterranean Sea. NPR's Ivan Watson traveled the length of that pipeline, and in the first of a three-part series, Ivan reports on the pipeline's beginning in Azerbaijan, which hopes to quadruple its oil exports.
Azerbaijan already has more than a century of experience with oil and the money that comes with it.
By the year of 1901, with a population of slightly more than 130,000, Baku was making 51% of the world's output in crude oil. It was unbelievable.
Fuad Akundov is a local historian. He takes visitors through the capital, Baku, past scores of 19th and early 20th century mansions built during the country's first oil boom by lucky Azeris who struck it rich.
If you were a millionaire, if it happened to be in your land, so this crazy money of the local oil barons flaunted into the streets of the city where they were trying to outdo each other with each new mansion they built.
Akundov says one oil baron built a replica of a Venetian palace, another the first opera in the Muslim world. Today, the Azerbaijan State Philharmonic continues to pack in audiences at this recently renovated turn-of-the-century concert hall. After the Soviets conquered Azerbaijan in the 1920s, however, oil went from being a blessing to a curse. The countryside surrounding Baku is hopelessly polluted, a wasteland of rusting oil derricks and oil-soaked earth left by decades of rapacious Soviet oil exploration. Here at the Balakhami oil field, Azeri workers are still struggling to pump oil out of scores of exhausted wells. Meanwhile, just yards away, impoverished Azeris, like three-year-old Sabir Jabrailova, live in one-room cement houses. Sabir complains that there aren't any birds to look at here. Her mother, Rashida, says the air is poisonous, but she adds that she can't afford to live anywhere else. The question now facing Azeris is what will the country's next oil boom look like? Most of the wells being exploited now are offshore in the Caspian Sea. The oil is pumped first to the Sangachal terminal, a sprawling, heavily guarded compound of brand new tanks, tubes, and industrial machinery managed by British Petroleum. Douglas Fair is one of the managers here.
Yeah, it's the pipeline, 46-inch pipeline that goes in the ground and then comes out the other end, 1,760 kilometers away.
The pipeline has been built to pump more than 1 million barrels of oil a day from offshore platforms all the way to waiting tanker ships in the Mediterranean Sea. With oil reaching record prices of more than $70 a barrel this week, that's a lot of money for Azerbaijan.
Around 2010, we will be generating revenues for the state that are several times their GNP currently. They will result in something like a tenfold increase in the state revenues.
David Woodward is the British Petroleum executive stationed in Baku who helped negotiate the pipeline's somewhat convoluted route. He says Azerbaijan's rulers wanted to use this pipeline to link them to the Western world.
They saw the pipeline as a means of securing their independence from former Soviet Union. It had the backing of the US because I think they saw it as the primary means of helping to ensure the independence of Azerbaijan rather than falling back under the influence of Russia or falling into the embrace of Iran.
Woodward says British Petroleum wants Azerbaijan to develop into a society where the people have a say in how the country's future revenues will be used. To help absorb and redistribute the coming oil wealth, Azerbaijan's foreign minister, Elmar Mamedyarov, says the government has established an oil fund based on a European model.
We took the Norwegian oil fund. We're taking Norway as one of the good, well-established examples for which we want in our country.
But unlike Norway, Azerbaijan is considered to be one of the most corrupt countries in the world, according to the corruption watchdog agency Transparency International. It was also the first former Soviet republic to witness a dynastic succession from President Haydar Aliyev, who died in office, to his son Ilham, who became president after what international monitors described as flawed elections. Ilgar Mammadov is an Azerbaijani political scientist and former opposition party member.
The government belongs practically to one family that has complete control over all kind of government decisions at all levels.
Last November, Azerbaijan held parliamentary elections, which international observers say were rigged. Inspired by the peaceful revolutions in neighboring Georgia and Ukraine, opposition leader Ali Karimli tried to organize a sit-in with thousands of demonstrators. He says it was violently crushed by security forces.
They clubbed and wounded more than 90 people. Many people have been arrested. 5 months later, we're still not allowed to organize rallies. I don't understand how oil can blind you to the suffocation of democracy here.
Matt Bryza is a senior State Department official who monitors the Caucasus region.
We don't see Ilham Aliyev as a dictator. We see him as the leader of a country with an emerging democracy that has a long way to go to become a healthy democracy.
Later this month, Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev is scheduled to meet President Bush in the White House. In addition to the Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline, the U.S. is backing the construction of a parallel natural gas pipeline to Turkey, and negotiations are underway for a link to the much larger oil and gas deposits in the Central Asian Republic of Kazakhstan. One Azeri analyst says Azerbaijan's about to get hit by an oil tsunami. Late at night, this lively Baku bar, oil and politics are far from the minds of these young Azeris. When asked, however, locals like Rashad Sharinov said they had little faith in Azerbaijan's newest oil barons.
Oil money should spend and should be invested into something else rather than only go to the pockets of corrupt bureaucrats.
Ivan Watson, NPR News.
Ivan's been following this pipeline all along its length, and tomorrow he'll report on its route through Georgia. He's been keeping an online journal of his travels, and you can read his reporter's notebook and see photos at npr.org.